Signs in the front yards of churches may read, "Come worship with us." Advertisements in the local paper may conclude with the phrase, "Come worship with us." Think of the implications of this invitation. This invitation to come worship with us implies that worship is important to the church that is issuing the invitation. Hopefully, it will also be important to those invited. Well, when the church gathers, it usually worships. Of course, it may be that the church comes together at times for other purposes, such as work days that result in the maintenance of the building and the grounds, or perhaps the church comes together for benevolent purposes, feeding the hungry, clothing the ill-clad, or working on someone's house and yard who needs the help. But most of the time, worship is the reason for the church coming together. Without this worshipful gathering, the group really does not qualify as a church, do they? That's right. When the worshipers come, they unite their voices and send forth praise to God. They commune with God, Christ, and the Holy Spirit by studying God's Word, the Bible, and the personal accumulative effect of worship will be the glorification of God and the edification of the individual members. Praise, commune, learn. These are the verbs of worship. Well, the invitation to come worship with us also implies that the hosts are confident that they have learned how to worship. The Holy Spirit teaches us that ignorant worship is possible. In Acts 17 and 23, we read that the Apostle Paul had come to the Grecian city of Athens. As he was passing down a street, he noticed an altar with this inscription, "To the unknown God." Well, some Athenians were fearful that they were overlooking a god who should be worshipped. And so they erected the altar to the unknown god. Well, Paul said, "Whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you." Acts 17, verse 23. Ignorant worship of God has but little chance of being acceptable to God. Vain worship is also a danger. When our worship behavior is according to human tradition and not according to God's word, then it is called vain. That's right. Jesus taught this in Matthew chapter 15. Jesus quoted Isaiah's prophecy when he said, "This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth. They honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." Matthew 15, 8 through 9. You see, their human traditions were keeping them from worshiping God acceptably. What worship they attempted, Jesus called vain. Well, you know, misdirected worship is also possible, and it also fails. When the Apostle John saw a glorious angel delivering the message to him, John fell down to worship the angel. The angel immediately responded, "See thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God." Revelation 22, verse 9. Well, John's worship was directed toward the wrong person. Furthermore, Jesus teaches us and the Samaritan woman that the Father seeks worshipers who worship in spirit and in truth. John 4, verse 23. The word spirit here in this text indicates the location of worship, and the word truth indicates the behavior in which worship is expressed. To qualify for having successfully worshiped, an individual must have worshiped in spirit, that is, in the human heart. We may gather in a building, but the worship must happen in the heart of each person. That's right. When we invite someone to come worship with us, actually we are inviting them to come together with others to exercise their own hearts by worship. In addition to an individual worshiping in the heart, in order to worship God acceptably, an individual must also have worship in truth, that is, according to the truth found in God's Word. Jesus showed that this truth has a sanctifying effect upon people. In John 17, verse 17, it is recorded that he asked God to sanctify his disciples. And he said, "Sanctify them by thy truth, thy word is truth." Well, to sanctify something is to set it apart for a special purpose. Jesus' truth sets people apart as true worshipers who are following a set of specified activities. These worshipful behaviors are known to be acceptable to God because they are in His Word. How do we know if worship behavior is acceptable? Well, we know by the truth which is found in the Word of God, the Bible. When we practice these authorized activities, then we are worshiping in truth. The Apostle Paul said when he was standing before the Roman governor Felix, "This I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which were written in the law and in the prophets." Acts 24:14-15. Well, the Apostle Paul was worshiping God differently than he used to. He was worshiping God differently than his Jewish brothers and sisters, his former practice. He was worshiping differently because of the truth of Jesus being the Christ, as witnessed by the law and the prophets. Well, that truth made a difference in Paul's way of worship. Friends, it is imperative that those Christians who extend invitations to worship make sure that the way of worship that they are inviting people to will be according to the truth of God's Word. God teaches us in His Word, His truth, what actions are acceptable to Him. If we pattern our worship after God's Word, then our worship activities will be acceptable to God. Now consider the benefits of a scripturally authorized way of worship. Scriptural worship engages every worshiper in a God-approved activity. God has granted us freedom to express our heartfelt praise of Him in different words of different songs, different keys, different cadences, and different voices. Even the deaf can follow the words and make melody in their hearts. Even the blind can hear the words and be taught and warned. Even the deaf and blind can be taught and warned by a song in Braille. But we all join, you see, in expressing our heart's joy in the way of singing. We glorify God. We teach one another. We admonish or warn one another with poetry that is rooted in truth. Ephesians 5:19. Also Colossians 3:16. And we have our hearts edified by the praise of God in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Well, when a prayer leader leads us in prayer, we can all join in the thoughts of a common prayer. At one point, the Apostle Paul was assembling a collection for benevolent purposes. You see, there were some needy Christians in Jerusalem who needed the help. And so Paul was collecting these contributions from Gentile churches, Gentile Christians. That's right. The needy Christians in Jerusalem were Jewish. And so Paul was somewhat worried about the gift, whether or not it would be accepted with thanksgiving by the Jewish brothers and sisters. And so he asked the Corinthians to pray. Pray for what? "You also must help us," he said, "by prayer, so that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessing granted us through the prayers of many." 2 Corinthians 1:11. Well, this verse teaches that even Paul's collection was an answer to many prayers. It was a blessing or a grace that Gentile Christians were bestowing upon their Jewish brothers and sisters. And so the church was called upon to pray when they came together for worship, so that thanksgiving would abound when that great gift or that great collection was delivered to the Jewish brothers and sisters. Well, likewise, even today, neighbors, in worship services around the world, prayer leaders will invite the providential care of God into our lives and even into the lives of strangers. When a preacher or a teacher speaks to an assembly of Christians, we can all join in the same meditations and contemplations of God's Word. We can have our hearts opened and renewed. Lydia's heart was open when she heard the preaching of Christ in Acts 16, verse 14. Also, we read in Titus 3, verse 5, He, God, saved us not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to His own mercy, by the washing of regeneration, that's baptism, and renewal of the Holy Spirit. That's the change of the heart or the mind of a human being by the words of the Spirit. This is Titus 3, verse 5. Ah, yes, that renewal of the Holy Spirit comes by the Spirit's teaching, teaching the truth, as recorded in the Bible. Well, friends, with a common supper on the Lord's Day, we can all commune with God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, millions of believers around the world, and each other. And we can have our hearts knit together in a common love. And so, we are together remembering the Lord's death until He comes. Will a church so arrange and so define their way of worship so as to cut off the authorized common ground that's found in the Word of God? For instance, those who use mechanical musical instruments in worship, they do so without New Testament authorization. Those who withhold the cup from the worshipers, they do so without authorization. Those who withhold the whole supper on the Lord's Day do so without authorization. And yet they say, come worship with us. Friends, when churches of Christ say, come worship with us, we're inviting you to a common, simple worship service where authorized worshipful activities will take place. Well, who among the population can refuse the invitation on biblical grounds? And so it behooves churches of Christ to continue to invite people to a way of worship that is simply rooted in the common ground of the truth of the New Testament. You know, Peter, Barnabas, and other Jewish worshipers in the New Testament were meeting together without their Gentile brothers and sisters. That's right. They had separated themselves and they were worshiping God in a Jewish church. Paul condemned that practice. He condemned it to Peter's face, and he said what they were doing was not according to the truth of the gospel. You can read it, Galatians 2, 11 to 14. Well, Paul was correct in contending for the way of truth that enabled both Jewish and Gentile Christians to come together to worship. Churches of Christ should continue contending for and providing worship services that are according to the truth of the gospel. Yes, friends, the churches of Christ salute you, and we issue an invitation. Come worship with us.